I'd like to welcome everyone out to our service this evening. We welcome those that are visiting with us, and we give a welcome to the Bowden sisters from Cookstown who have come along to sing. We also welcome our preacher this evening, Mr. Samuel Fitton. Samuel is a licentiate minister in the Free Presbyterian Church. Remember the children's meeting tomorrow night, Monday night at 7 p.m. And on Thursday, the midweek meeting at 8 p.m. and it's a deputation meeting for Let the Bible Speak. And the speaker is the Reverend Julian Patterson from Ballygurney Free Church. Next Lord's Day, the services in the morning, 11:30, with the preacher, the Reverend Graham Lucas from Garva. And in the evening at 7 p.m, it's a special testimony meeting with Mrs. Vi Dawson, and the Reverend Eckey will be there to lead that service. And just a reminder that the Gospel Mission in Clocker Valley continues again this week. It's weeknights at 8 p.m, and the evangelists are Mr. Colin Maxwell and Mr. Noel Shields.
Can I thank your brother for the warm words of welcome and say that it is a joy to be here with you. I'd like to thank your interim moderator, the Reverend Leckie, as well, for the opportunity to come and to be with you here in Six Mile Cross. And we're going to commence our service by turning in our hymn books to the hymn number 275. Hymn number 275, found on page 287. Oh, what a Saviour that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. The hymn number 275, and we'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
We'll just commit our way to the Lord now in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this evening, recognizing that thou art the all-powerful and all-knowing God of heaven. Thou art the one who has spoken this world into existence. Thou art the Creator God. Thou art the one who is the great I Am. We thank thee tonight for the opportunity once again to come before thy throne of grace and prayer. We thank thee that we can come to thee in the name of Christ our Savior, the one who came to this world and who offered up his life as that sacrifice for our sins. We thank thee for all that took place that day on Calvary's tree, as thine only begotten Son, whom thou didst send, suffered, shed his precious blood, and died in our stead. But we thank thee tonight, and we rejoice and praise thee for the great fact, the great certainty that Christ has risen from the dead. He has risen in victory over each and every foe, and the devil has been conquered. O God, we thank thee that this evening we can say that we serve and we worship our risen Savior. We thank thee, O God, as well that salvation is found and was procured on that, at that time by the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for how that plan of salvation was made before the foundation of the world. We thank thee for how it was procured and for how it was provided by the sacrificial Lamb of God. We thank thee tonight for the congregation here in Six Mile Cross. And we thank thee for each one who is gathered in this evening under the sound of the gospel of Christ. And O God, we do pray that thou wouldst bless this congregation in the days that lie ahead. We pray that thou wouldst lead them, that thou wouldst guide them, and that thou wouldst undertake for them in each and every need. Thou knowest the needs of the church here as a whole. Thou also knowest the needs of individuals. Perhaps there are those who are laid aside with sickness. O God, we ask that thou wouldst undertake for them. We pray that thou wouldst draw near to them, that thou wouldst touch them even at the point of their need. Perhaps there are those who are going through times of trial. There are those going through times of affliction, and it may feel to them as though their whole world is caving in. But Father, tonight we pray that thou wouldst draw near to them, and that thou wouldst strengthen them, that thou wouldst succor them, that thou wouldst encourage them even at this difficult time. But Lord, we pray especially tonight in this evangelistic, in this gospel service, for those who are outside of thee, those who have never come to that realization that they have sinned against the holy God of heaven. We pray for those who have never come and have never put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Perhaps there is one in this meeting tonight, and they have attended this house for many, many years. But yet, whilst many a gospel appeal has gone forward, they have never come. They have never responded. They have never received the salvation of the Lord. O God, tonight we pray that thou wouldst be pleased to speak through the preaching of thy word to some soul who is on that road that leads to a lost eternity. To some soul who is going down that broad road that leads to the place the Bible calls hell. O God, tonight we can say that it is not our desire that any in this building would leave this house tonight and would continue on that road. Oh God, it is our desire that each and every one of the individuals in this building, each and every individual who is here under the sound of thy word, that they would place their faith and trust in Christ for all eternity, that they would have that assurance of salvation, and that they would have that comforting certainty that when that time comes to depart this scene of time, to depart this world, that it will be to be with Christ, which is far better. Lord, we do pray for help as the service continues. We pray for help in the reading of the scriptures. We pray for help in the preaching of the word. We ask that thou wouldst fill me with thy spirit, and that thou wouldst help me to declare the gospel of Christ in all of its fullness. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst prepare the hearts, even of the people. We do pray also for our sisters as they will come in a little moment to bring their messages and song. We thank thee for them, and we pray that even as they sing the gospel to us, that thou wouldst use the words that they sing to speak even to some poor sinful soul. So, Father, we ask that we would know thy presence tonight. We pray that thou wouldst pour out thy blessing upon us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. It is a delight tonight to have the Bowden sisters with us, and at this stage we're going to ask them to come and to bring their first two messages in song.
My gift. banished, with boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah said, can you ease all things to me? In treading the valley, the shadow of death, this watchword shall Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In life I will love thee in death, and praise me as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death do lies cold on my brow. Now in mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glitter now. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Thank our sisters for coming along, bringing those pieces in song, and we will be hearing from them in a little moment or two in the meeting. But if you have a copy of the Word of God with you tonight, I want to read a few verses just from the book of Acts and the chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we will break into the chapter at the verse 34 and read down to the end of this chapter together. Acts chapter 10, commencing our reading at the verse 34, the Word of God reads for us, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Amen. We end our reading at the end of the verse 48, trusting that as always the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his own precious word. We're going to sing our offering hymn at this stage. It's the hymn number 277, hymn number 277, found on page 288, another great gospel hymn. On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk some day, yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works or opinions, if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. We'll remain seated for the first part of this hymn as our tithes and offerings are collected for the Lord's work. stand and make verse 3 the last. We'll ask the Bowden sisters to come again now and to bring their final piece in song. Sisters for coming along and singing those gospel pieces with us. And certainly our prayer tonight as the Lord's people is that you would not be almost persuaded, but that you would be altogether persuaded to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ even this evening. If we can perhaps open our Bibles again at that passage of Scripture that we read together in Acts chapter 10, and then with the Word of God open before us, we'll just bow in prayer briefly and ask for the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of his own inspired and infallible word. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for all that has taken place in thy house thus far this evening. We thank thee for the singing of these great gospel hymns. And Lord, we rejoice that those who are children of thine, that they can indeed sing praise unto thee. They can sing even with the hymn writer, glory to God, hallelujah. But Father, tonight we are conscious that there are those who are not right with thee. There are those in this meeting who do not know thee as their own and personal Saviour. We pray that tonight that thou would speak to them, even through thy word. Father, fill me with thy spirit. Grant help as we open thy word now and as we seek to declare Christ is the only way of salvation. We pray that as thy word goes forth, that it would not return unto thee void, even this night. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. I want to take as my text this evening the words of Acts chapter 10 and the verse 43. Acts chapter 10 and the verse 43. That verse reads, for us, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. This verse was part of one of Peter's great sermons that he preached in the book of Acts. This sermon was one of the greatest ever preached even in the scriptures. And as we consider, as we read this sermon, we can note the congregation who heard it. Peter was preaching on this occasion to a centurion by the name of Cornelius. You are introduced to him in the opening verses of the chapter. Verse 1 tells us, there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. And the second verse, it tells us how he was a devout man and how he was one that feared God. Cornelius was a moral and a religious Gentile. He was a man who had some familiarity with the scriptures, but yet he was not a saved man. Maybe tonight that describes you. You're here in the house of God. You perhaps attend this congregation on a regular basis. You have familiarity with the Word of God. If I was to ask you about particular events that took place in Scripture, you could take me to the passages. You could take me to the chapters and the verses that describe them. You have a familiarity with Scripture. But yet, despite being perhaps a moral person and having a familiarity with the Word of God, tonight you're outside of Christ. Maybe Cornelius describes you. But Cornelius, he had been waiting on the Apostle Peter to come to Caesarea where he was. And he was waiting with a large crowd. Often when the preacher is going to preach somewhere, he is waiting on the congregation to come. But on this occasion, the congregation was gathered and they were waiting with anticipation for the preacher, for the man of God to come. And they had gathered for a great purpose. They had gathered to hear the word of God. They had a desire to hear. They had a desire not only to hear, but they had a desire to obey the word that was preached. That is seen in the concluding verses of the chapter. And oh, today, that men and women would have that same desire in this day and generation when so many men and women across this land, they are going about their business. They go about just doing what they have to do in life and enjoying themselves, but they have no thought for the things of God. They have no thought for matters that relate to eternity. We see there the congregation who heard the gospel, but in this message you also note that the command to preach the gospel was highlighted. That was seen in verse 42, where the Apostle Peter, he speaks and he says of how the Lord Jesus Christ, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. They were commanded, the apostles, they were commanded to spread the gospel both near and to spread it far away. The Lord Jesus Christ had given them that command. He had given them the Great Commission. He had given them that commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And the same command, The same command, the same commission to spread the gospel, it applies to believers today in the 21st century. You and I are to spread the gospel. It may be at home here in this local area, but it may also be further afield, perhaps in another place in Ulster, or perhaps even in another place across this world. You are to tell others of your Saviour. But then, in verse 43, our text, we really come in this great sermon of Peter's to see the climax of the gospel message. Because Peter here, he really, in this verse, he gives a summary. He gives an overview of the gospel message. And that was exactly what this gathered congregation, what this great crowd of people needed to hear. Tonight, it is the message that you need to hear. It is a simple message, but yet it is so powerful. And Peter declared on that occasion, preaching to these Gentiles, preaching to Cornelius and all these individuals that he had brought together, he declared unto them that Christ was the Savior to whom all sinners must look to for their salvation. And in this text, we have Peter's declaration about Christ and especially about the forgiveness of sin. And as we look at this declaration tonight, I want us to see firstly that he declared the testimony of the prophets in Scripture. We see that in the opening phrase or the opening section of our text where it tells us, to him give all the prophets witness. The message that Peter was sounding forth, that he was preaching, it was not a new message. It was not a message that had just appeared out of nowhere. It was not a message that he invented himself. It was not his own philosophy or perhaps his own outlook on life. It was not a message that was only formulated in the New Testament period. Perhaps it only originated with the apostles. That was not the case. It was not a message that had been formulated at that time, but rather it was the message that had been declared by the Old Testament prophets of God down through the centuries prior to this specific event. It is recorded in the books of the Old Testament. And those prophets in the Old Testament, they preached Christ. They declared his person. They declared his work. They spoke of his life. They spoke of his death. They spoke of his suffering. But they also spoke of his resurrection. All of the prophets, they declared great truths of Christ. They pointed to him in different ways, whether it was by types, whether it was by sacrifices, or whether it was by direct prophecies. We can note many references tonight. There are those in the major prophets. Perhaps the most well-known one is that of Isaiah 53, where, especially in the verse 5, you have it witnesses to the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. It speaks of his suffering. It speaks of his sacrifice as the Savior for sinners. Verse 5 of Isaiah 53, it tells us, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." You also have in Isaiah chapter 9. You have Isaiah witnessing there to his deity. He's witnessing to his sovereignty. He's witnessing to his incarnation. That verse in Isaiah 9, in the verse 6 especially, it tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You have many references in the minor, in the major prophets, but you also have many references, many witnesses of Christ in the minor prophets. One such example is that of Zechariah and the chapter 13. Zechariah 13, in the verse 1, it tells us, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." That fountain that is spoken of is the blood of Christ, which removes sin and justifies the sinner in the sight of God. Oh, there's many, many references. The Old Testament, it is full of references to the Lord Jesus Christ. But turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 in the verses 22 and 24. Acts chapter 3 and the verse 22, it reads, again, We have here a sermon preached by Peter. He says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." You see, they're all the prophets. In verse 24, you see that all the prophets from Samuel, all those Old Testament prophets, they had spoken of Christ. But Peter, in verse 23, he especially refers to Moses, and he quotes Moses. He quotes him from Deuteronomy and the chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the verse 15. We have there the words of Moses. He says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." And then we have similar words again in the verse 18. Moses was speaking of a great prophet who was to come, a great prophet who would come in the future. And this prophet that Moses was speaking of, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't Isaiah, it wasn't Jeremiah, it wasn't Elijah, it wasn't Elisha. They were great men of God, but they were not that prophet. That prophet was the Lord Jesus Christ. It did not and it could not refer to any of the other Old Testament prophets. Scripture proves that for us. For in John chapter 1, John the Baptist, as he was going about his ministry, as he was baptizing, as he was preaching, as he was engaging in the Lord's work, he was asked that question by the Pharisees and by the Jews. "Are you that prophet?" And John the Baptist was most clear in informing them that he was not that prophet. That prophet had not come up until that point in time. That prophet had not come to the land of Israel before John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said he was not that prophet, but rather that he was the forerunner. He was the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. He prepared the way for that great prophet who was to come. And oh, tonight I tell you, the Old Testament prophets, they testified, they bore witness of a prophet to come. They spoke of the coming Savior. They spoke of his work. They spoke of his deity. They spoke of his humanity. And that is what Peter declared when he preached to this great congregation. He was simply preaching the same message of those prophets, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had come to this world, the one who had died on that cross at Calvary, he was the same person, the same Messiah, the same individual that all those Old Testament prophets had to preach. You know, that is the same message that the Church of Christ is to preach today. It is the same message that is being sounded forth from this pulpit. And yes, thousands of years have passed by from when Peter preached this message. Thousands of years have passed by from when the Old Testament prophets were on this earth. Things have changed in this world. Things have changed in society. Things have changed in how people live their lives. But one thing we can say is that Christ does not change. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same forever. And his message remains the same. This message that the prophets preached, this message that the Apostle Peter preached, it is to be preached continually. The tidings of the gospel, the tidings that Christ is the Savior of the world and that in him alone forgiveness of sin is to be found. It is to be spread both far and near. It is the message of the Word of God. It is that old, old story, but yet it is ever new. You know, men and women across this town, men and women across this county, across this province, indeed across this entire world, this is the message that they need to hear. It's not a new ideology or a new philosophy or just a new way of life that people need to hear about, but rather it is the message of Christ they need. That is the great need of people today. They need to hear the testimony of the prophets in Scripture as they tell of Christ and what he has done for them. But not only do they need to hear the message, they not only need to hear the great truths of the gospel, but they need to believe. They need to realize that the message is true. and they need to call upon Christ to save them. Maybe tonight you are outside of Christ and you have had that privilege of hearing this great message. Maybe this is your first time ever hearing it. Maybe you have heard it many, many times. But I must tell you tonight that hearing the message of the gospel, hearing how you can be saved, it will not save you. It cannot save you, but rather only believing will save you. Are you believing in Christ tonight? Have you called upon him to take away your sin and to be your Savior? Or are you still just going down that broad road that leads to a lost eternity in hell? You're just hoping perhaps that everything will work out in the end. Oh, tonight I plead with you to believe the message of the prophets. Pay heed to what the scriptures have taught. Pay heed to what the men of God, what they said as these words were penned under the inspiration of the Spirit. Oh, pay heed to the warning of the scriptures. But secondly, I want us to see that Peter also declared the terms of the pardon for sinners. So when we come back to our text, we note the concluding phrase, remission of sins. And that word remission is perhaps a word that you would not use an awful lot. I remember whenever I was preparing this message, I was thinking, trying to think in my mind, when had I ever used this word remission outside of a Bible college context or just in my own study of the scriptures and in discussion with other colleagues. And I couldn't think of any time when I had used that word. But the word remission, it's a word that we do not maybe use very often. But it speaks of freedom. It speaks of pardon. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of liberty. And it speaks of deliverance. And in order for a soul to be saved from their sin, they must have their sins forgiven. They must experience remission of their sins. They must be delivered from their sins by the Savior. And Peter was telling Cornelius, and he was telling this great congregation, that in order to receive salvation, you must have your sins forgiven. It begs the question, if you must have your sins forgiven, well, how can you have your sins forgiven? And you know that is a great need of man. And throughout the centuries of time, throughout the years of church history, there have been many errors that have spread through churches and indeed across the world regarding the remission or the forgiveness of sins. There are some who have taught that all men will be forgiven no matter how they live or how they respond to the gospel message. Some have taught that religious ordinances will result in forgiveness. For example, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that forgiveness for sin is obtained by the sacraments of baptism and penance. Others have taught that it is possible to receive forgiveness by living a good life and by engaging in good works. But tonight, what we really want to know is what the Bible teaches about the matter. We always come back to the scriptures. The scriptures are our authority. The scriptures are the only rule of faith and practice. And that is what we want to see. And in our text tonight, we have the answer. In our text, you have the terms. You have the conditions. You have the requirements for this forgiveness or remission of sins. Well, what are they? Well, our text tells us most clearly and without any shadow of a doubt, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That word believeth, it speaks of putting trust in someone. It speaks of to place faith in someone. And the one who trusts, the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will receive pardon for their sins. Their sins will be forgiven. And thus the terms of that pardon are that you must come to Christ. Faith is the requirement. We have those well-known verses in Ephesians chapter 2. In the verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, only those who believe on him, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, only those who believe on the Son of God and come to him for his salvation will receive the benefits. They will receive the blessing of the forgiveness of their sin. They receive it through the blood of Christ. You know, Christ was the only way of salvation for the Jews. He was the only way of salvation for God's Old Testament covenant people. But he was also the only way of salvation for these Gentiles to whom Peter was preaching to. You know, today in 21st century Northern Ireland, Christ is the only way of salvation for you. The message is the exact same, that salvation is found in Christ alone. No pope, no priest can forgive sin. Only Christ can forgive your sin. No, tonight I have to tell you that if you do not honor these terms, if you do not come and put your faith and your trust in Christ and in him alone, you will not have your sins forgiven. It is not enough to simply acknowledge or to affirm the reality of the existence of God. It's not enough to believe that the Bible is true, but that's as far as it goes. It's not enough to believe the Bible's reliable. It's not enough, as some will contend, to be in church membership or to be baptized or to be confirmed or to engage in what other rituals that there are. No, the Bible teaches that forgiveness of sin, it will only be granted to those who are trusting. It will only be granted to those who are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. These terms must be fulfilled. And without their fulfillment, you will be lost forever. That is what the Bible teaches. It teaches that if those terms and those conditions, if that requirement is not met, you will remain lost in sin and you will be on that road that leads to a Christless eternity, that leads to the place that the Bible calls hell. We read about it in Luke 16, how it's that place of torment, it's that place of horror. Tell me tonight, is that the road you're on? Or do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you called upon his precious name for his salvation? Well, tonight I have to tell you it is the only way. If we could drag you to heaven, we would. But yet the Bible makes it so clear that salvation is found in Christ alone. And you must trust in him. The old children's chorus put it well. One way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Let me ask tonight, will you refuse to accept this reality? And will you refuse to believe? Or will you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you tonight? Will you respond to the call of the gospel? We come thirdly and finally this evening to see that Peter also declared the truth of the promise of salvation. That last section of our text, it tells us, shall receive remission of sin. And as we come to a conclusion tonight, I really want to focus on this last section, but especially those two words, shall receive. You know, those words are a great gospel promise. If you listen to the testimony of the scriptures, if you believe on the Savior, you are told that you shall receive remission or forgiveness of sin. You know, it does not matter who you are. The Bible tells us, the very text that tells us, whosoever. It does not matter what your country is. It does not matter what your background is. It does not matter what culture you are engaged in, or your political views or your social status. It does not matter whether you are a male or a female, or whether you are young or old or middle-aged. None of that matters. Those things do not change this promise, because God has promised that your sins shall be forgiven. If you believe, it also does not matter about the greatness of your sin. Tonight you are maybe thinking that you cannot be saved because you have committed some great and terrible sins in your life. You say, oh, preacher, I could never be saved. The Lord would never save me. You don't know the awful deeds that I have committed as I have went through life. You say, oh, I am a bad man or I am a bad woman. But yet this text covers even those of you who may have committed the most wicked of deeds. It covers those of you who may have committed many great heinous crimes against God. Do you not read in Scripture of men such as David, a man who was an adulterer, a man who committed murder, a man who committed grievous sins? But what happened? The Lord forgave him. You read in the New Testament about Saul of Tarsus, an enemy of the church, a man who put many of the believers to death, a man who dragged them off to prison, a man who was going to the city of Damascus to engage in that work there and to seek to wreak havoc in the church of Christ. And what do we read in Acts 9, the previous chapter? We read of how the Lord saved his soul and forgave him his sin. What about 1 Corinthians in the chapter 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 9 to 11, you have a number of very abominable sins listed. We're not going to read them tonight, but you have a number of sins listed there. And we would look at some of those sins and we would think, oh, they are very serious sins. But what does the apostle write in verse 11? After that list of sins, he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There were people in the church in Corinth who had been engaged in those sins, but they had come to saving faith in Christ, and the Lord had forgiven them of their sins. You know, tonight, I can tell you that it does not matter how great a sinner you are. It does not matter what great acts of depravity you have committed, because the Savior is greater, and there is a guarantee that is given. Because God has said that he will forgive your sin. He has said that he will forget your sin. He has said that he will cast it into the depths of your sea, of the sea. Your sin will be forgiven. It is a guarantee from him, and so tonight I can assure you that if you follow the instructions that are given in this text that we have considered tonight, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you turn from your sin unto him who died for you, the one who died in your place, your sins will be forgiven. They will be forgotten. They will be washed away. Your heart will be cleansed. Your heart will be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb that was slain on the cross at Calvary. Oh, is it not wonderful? There is no need for you to doubt. There is no need for you to be wondering in despair whether or not you can be, or whether or not you have been forgiven. There is no need for you to be worried or concerned. Why? Because God has given his guarantee. He says in that text, he says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. There is certainty. The person who believes in Christ shall be saved. They shall have their sins forgiven. Oh, there's great assurance. And if you do that tonight, if you turn to the Savior who in mercy is waiting, if you turn to the Savior who is calling unto you tonight, who is calling to you to come to him in faith and repentance, to call upon his name and receive his salvation, he will forgive your sins, no matter how depraved, no matter how many. All will be removed. The debt will be cleared, the account will be emptied, and your soul shall be saved for all eternity. Tonight, if you're outside of Christ, will you not answer the call of salvation? Will you not come to the Savior this night, or will you delay? The Bowden sisters sung for us that hymn, Almost Persuaded. You know, there was a man in the Word of God, and that was his answer. Whenever he heard the message of the gospel proclaimed, he said that he was almost persuaded to become a Christian. But you know, that individual, that great king, he went off on his way. And we have no record in Scripture, we have no record in secular history that he ever was fully persuaded. As far as we know, that man heard the preaching of the Word of God by one of the greatest preachers to walk this earth, none other than the Apostle Paul. But his response to the preaching of the message was to reject it, and he walked off into a Christless eternity. Will that be you tonight? Will you leave this building rejecting the Savior? Maybe saying that you're almost persuaded, or maybe you'll say, oh well, maybe in a more convenient time. Oh, tonight I plead with you, do not put off the matter of salvation, but rather call upon the Lord Jesus while he is calling to you. Oh, receive him, and then you too will have your sins forgiven, and you will be assured of eternal life and glory. We're going to close our meeting by turning to the hymn number 224. Hymn number 224, found on page 267. Great gospel hymn again. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The hymn 224, and again we'll stand as we sing. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time around thy word tonight. And O God, as the preacher's voice has now gone silent, we pray, Father, that if there be one in this meeting, and if there is a battle perhaps going on within them, we pray, O God, that thy Spirit would strive with them. We pray, Lord, that they would even be able to speak to one at the door who can point them to thee. Lord, we pray that none would leave this meeting in the clutches of sin, in the clutches of Satan, going down that broad road. But, O God, our prayer is that each one would leave united together in Christ. Father, we pray that thou wouldst part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our various homes in safety and undertake for us even as we prepare to commence another week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.